Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Palm Springs, California, and began working in his dad's Radio Shack store at age 11 for 50 cents an hour. He earned a degree in business administration and marketing from California State University, Northridge. His 25-plus year marketing career has taken him to American Isuzu Motors, Hyundai, and since 2010, General Motors Corporation. Today, he is GM's Vice President of Marketing for Chevrolet Global. His name, Chris Perry. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with the Vice President of U.S. Marketing for Chevrolet Global, Chris Perry. Chris, welcome, an honor to have you.
Well, thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can we start by talking about your parents and your childhood?
Certainly. Both my parents grew up during the Depression, so they kind of learned the value of a dollar. I'm the youngest of five kids, so that was played a significant role in my upbringing as well. You know, I tell you, my father was a World War II vet. He went on to be an engineer, and he was a very intelligent man. He's since passed away now, but he always encouraged debate at the dinner table and conversation. It took me quite a few years to recognize that he was taking a point of view that maybe he didn't necessarily agree with. It was just a way to encourage the dialogue and to make us kids recognize that there's more than just one side to a story. So I think that's my intellectual curiosity, I think, came from my father. My mother is, you know, you open up a dictionary, you're going to see a picture of my mom next to what describes a mother, right? She was a great cook. She's a loving person, really the emotional, caring person of the family. And like I said, youngest of five kids, so I got teased quite a bit when I was younger.
You had six parents.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
You're 11 years old. You go to work in your dad's Radio Shack store for 50 cents an hour. What did that teach you, Chris Perry?
I would have to say it just taught me a very strong work ethic. I would go to school, and after school I'd go down to the store and I'd help stock the shelves and take inventory. And as I grew older, I was the one who drove into Los Angeles and picked up more inventory. And this is when I was 16, 17 years old. During the summers, it was rare for us to take a vacation. So I was, you know, I worked all my time. But, you know, I look back on it, I think it was a great childhood. And it taught me a lot of, like I said, work ethic and how to manage time and how to engage with consumers.
When did you know you wanted to be in marketing as a career?
Probably that was my influence from the Radio Shack, of devising different displays in the store. And, you know, when I could, I would try to get involved in maybe the local newspaper ad or such. And I just saw just a lot of interest in that. And that's probably where it started.
Chris Perry, what is marketing?
Gosh, that's a great question. I think that, you know, I was just reading an article this last week about, it was from the Harvard Business Review from the 1960s, and it described the difference between marketing and sales. And sales being more of, you know, how do I exchange cash for the product I've developed? Well, marketing is more of, how do I develop product that fulfills a consumer need? And not only developing a product, but also developing a communication plan and a public relations plan that touches on the consumer need versus what the company has to sell.
Who's the best marketer you've ever met, and why?
That's another great question. You know, there's so many of them, but I moved here from Orange County, and I attended Saddleback Church for many years while I was in Orange County, and I think he might not appreciate it, but I would say Rick Warren is probably one of the best marketers I've ever met, just because the way that he communicated the story of Jesus Christ and the different ways that he brought this to life for the people who attended his church through his sermons, through his websites, through the notes that you had to take while you're in church, through all the different ways. He recognized that people learn different ways and consume media different ways, and he found a way to reach a variety of people with the same message.
You've been in marketing for 25 plus years. Let's go back. 1985. Talk about marketing in 1985.
Well, it's quite a bit different than it is now, isn't it? You know, that's the one thing is now there's so many variety of ways that people are inundated by marketing messages. And, you know, you go into a grocery store and you see an ad on the floor of the grocery store. There's coupons flying out at you at the candy counter. Back in 85, it was a little bit easier. The internet hadn't been developed yet, so it was really just a few channels. Right? There was TV, radio, print, out of home, more than that. But those are the main investments that you made. And now it's how do you consume, how do you package your messaging and your marketing in a way that's more digestible to your target audience. And particularly since the target audience is more now in charge than they ever were. They can very easily avoid your message and more often than not are trying to avoid your message. And so it takes a little bit more effort and creativity on our part.
Marketing in 2020, Chris Perry. When you're 50 years old in 2020, talk about marketing.
That's fascinating. It's gonna be interesting to see how that turns out. You know, what's happening is that the consumer is taking more of a role in how they digest the message and how the message is developed. You know, you see in social media and what we call user-generated media, the message is often devised and developed from the consumer. So I think that path will continue.
We're talking to Chris Perry, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Chris Perry, who began working in his dad's Radio Shack store at age 11 for 50 cents an hour. Chris, in your role today with GM, you are pitched every day, and once in a while, you see something that you say, wow, that's a winner. What is it about those few wows?
You know, the ones that really get me are the ones who the ideas that have a consumer insight to them or bring something to the consumer that maybe they weren't, that they didn't expect. That's one. Also, it obviously has to be consistent with the Chevrolet brand and how we're trying to market the Chevrolet brand, how we're trying to present the Chevrolet brand. Certainly something that's new and hasn't been done before always catches your eye. But it's sometimes difficult. We get, like you said, I just get a plethora, if you will, of ideas on a daily basis. And we can't run them all down. And some I turn down and I always wonder to myself, boy, is that going to turn into something great and I just turn it down? But you have to make those calls. We don't have the resources, the manpower, the funds to be able to do all of them.
From 2000 to 2010, you were vice president of marketing for Hyundai. And when the economic tsunami hit, you convinced Hyundai to come up with a plan that said, if you lose your job, we'll buy the car back from you. How did you ever convince the powers to be to do that during that economic tsunami?
Yeah, that was an interesting idea, and I'll tell you the story behind that. Myself and Joel Iwanek, who I was, actually at the time, I was director of marketing, and Joel was the vice president of marketing. Joel is now the CMO for General Motors, global CMO. And we were driving to the L.A. Auto Show, and this was during a lot of our competitors were running advertising about 0% financing and zero down, zero payments, and it was getting no traction in the marketplace. And during our conversation in the car, we started realizing that people were afraid of losing their job, afraid of what that car payment, that commitment meant to them. So regardless of what that payment was going to be, they weren't going to sign up for it because they weren't sure they're going to have the ability to make that payment 6 months from now. And Joel referenced that, you know, he received something in the mail about, you know, a mortgage guarantee. So we thought, how do we do this from a car standpoint where we can guarantee if you lose your job, we'll take the car back. And it went from there. And what's interesting about it is that that was like mid-November, and we had something on air in the market ready to go. I think it was January 6th. And that was one of the things that we tried to pride ourselves on, as being a little bit more nimble when ideas come our way, or whether we develop the ideas or they're presented to us. How can we quickly move and get an advantage in the marketplace by being a quick mover? So once we had the concept behind us, it was just running out. How do we develop it and put it in place? And there's a little bit of faith by the executive staff at Hyundai, but we got it sold.
30 years ago in this town, there was this guy, Ollie Fretter. He was an appliance store owner. And he used to ads all the time, "I'll give you 5 pounds of coffee if I can't beat your best deal." But it wasn't "I'll take back your car." So,
yeah.
How was it you left Hyundai and came to GM?
I'll admit, as you know, Jack, I'm born and raised in Southern California. I've always worked in the import car business, either for an OEM or advertising agency, and I always saw myself as a Southern Cal guy. And the opportunity came to work for General Motors. And when I was first contacted, actually the first several times I was contacted, I politely declined the offer, or even declined to be interviewed, because I just didn't see myself as a domestic guy living in Detroit. But I kind of realized that I can't turn down what I don't know. So my wife and I got on a plane and came to Detroit. And we thought we'd be here, go through the process, thank you very much, check the box, go back home and be pleasantly happy living our lives in Southern California doing what we're doing, but know that we did the interview. But I spent some time that day with Mark Royce and with Mary Barra and with Ed Wilburn. And I asked him all the tough questions you would never ask during an interview, because I quite honestly didn't feel like I wanted the job. And they had all the great answers. And they were very inspirational in how they saw the corporation unfolding and building out. And the more I thought about it, the more I listened to them, the more I realized what a great opportunity this would be to help rebuild an iconic American brand of Chevrolet, because it really is, and I believe is a Chevrolet more than almost any other brand in or outside the industry, pure Americana. And when it came down to, there was actually a passion within the corporation with these leaders. They had a plan of how they wanted to turn it around, and they thought I would be a good fit to help them turn it around. It was actually after that conversation, it was pretty quick decision to come over to GM.
Let's talk about Chevy. It's the 100th anniversary of Chevy.
It is.
Chevy is almost as old as my Cubs' last World Series, which was 102 years ago. You've got a marketing campaign now that I see over and over, Chevy Runs Deep. How did your team come up with this slogan? And what does it say to us?
Well, where it came from is really what it says is within the American culture, within Americana, Chevy runs deep. It's part of the fabric of our life. It's part of the fabric of our society, and those values that Chevrolet stand for are relevant anywhere in the globe. You know, we want to show people that, yes, we're an American brand, but those values that you associate with Chevrolet, the honesty, the hardworking, the innovation, the integrity, those are values that everyone can relate to. So we often talk with our global team that you consumers might disagree with American politics, but I think they can appreciate American values, and that's what we're kind of trying to tie Chevrolet to.
I can remember as a real young kid, you know, Dinah Shore, see the USA in your Chevrolet.
Did you see the rendition that the group from Glee did after the Super Bowl? They redid that song. It was fantastic.
The Martin Luther King Memorial Statue was recently unveiled in Washington, D.C. Talk about the role that Chevy played in that. And also, I've just been seeing a new Chevy commercial about that. Chris Perry, please.
So where that came about was, I guess it was about 10 years ago when the memorial was first decided to be built. And the GM Foundation stepped up and made a significant contribution to that, the building of the memorial. And it's taken a while because it wasn't just Chevrolet and the GM Foundation. There were several corporations and individuals that helped contribute to get this memorial built, although the GM Foundation was the largest. And going into this year, we recognize that there's probably more that we can do to celebrate the legacy of Dr. King beyond just the memorial. So we've been having a series of conversations around the country. There's four that'll be taking place. The first one was in Atlanta at the Morehouse College, where Dr. King graduated. Memphis, Tennessee, at the Civil Rights Museum in Chicago. And the last one just took place on Friday the 26th in Washington, D.C. And the whole idea behind that is bringing a variety of people together. It really stemmed from his I Have a Dream speech, when he talks about the Table of Brotherhood and bringing little black girls and little black boys and little white girls and little white boys together around the Table of Brotherhood to have an honest and frank conversation and exchanging of ideas. So we took that idea and we developed this Tablehood of Brother tour. And like I said, there's four stops, and in each location we invite local clergy, politicians, civic leaders, teachers, whoever it might be, to share in that conversation and kind of tackle today's problems through the lens of the teaching of Dr. King.
You see all these young kids around this huge long table, and then you're looking out, and that building that they're in, what is that building?
It's looking out, it's a building in Washington, D.C., and it's just looking out at the memorial that's being revealed. Really just symbolic of all the great memorials in D.C. and, again, celebrating Dr. King's legacy.
When we come back, we'll ask Chris Perry about the 24th floor of the GM headquarters building. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Chris Perry, who's recently been named Vice President of Marketing for Chevrolet Global. Chris, you go up to the 24th floor of the Renaissance building, and there's this huge open area. Tell us about it and why.
Well, we call it our Media Lab. And what we did is we took over a section of the floor, and we built out what could commonly be seen as an apartment or a living space that a consumer in Los Angeles, Brazil, Tokyo, Shanghai, London could be living in. And it has a little kitchen to it, it has a little living room to it, and it has all the latest technology, the Game Boys and the Xboxes and the Wiis and the iPads that consumers engage with when they're during their day, when they're engaging with our brand and our communications. So the point around it is a couple reasons why we did this. One is to remind our staff, remind our vendors and people that work in the business that we're really here to satisfy the needs of the consumer. We have to be more consumer-oriented than maybe what we've been in the past. And this is how the consumer lives their life. This is where they live their life. This is where they watch our advertising. This is where they read about our magazines. This is how they get our where this is where they do their multitasking when they're on their iPad and while they're talking on their phone, while they're watching TV. So it's just a way to remind and immerse our staff members of this is who the audience is, and this is how we need to develop our marketing plans to reach the people who live in this type of environment.
I think it's only missing one thing, Chris. I think you got to get one of those old Radio Shack PCs so that all these young kids in the marketing group right. says, Chris, what is this thing? What is this right. thing? You go in your office. You got a great view of the river. You look down across the river to the Windsor, okay, Canada. You see the barges. And you got a credenza behind your desk. And you got two pictures on that credenza. One is of your family. And one is of you and your son in the Dominican Republic with an old man in a wheelchair. Why?
I'm surprised you brought this up. That was from a mission trip that my son and I took in the Dominican Republic. And it was a fantastic experience. And the picture is a gentleman who was in a wheelchair who's suffering from leprosy. Who was deformed and missing an eye, but he just had a fantastic spirit about him because he had a relationship with God. And he felt very strongly that while our visit was nice and the gifts that we gave him and the conversation we had with him was pleasant and he appreciated it, he really had all he needed from his relationship with God. And so it's just a reminder to me that all these other things that we have in our lives, all the problems that we have, all the opportunity that we have, it really boils down to that we have everything that our Father will give, that all that we need, our Father is going to give us.
You know, I've told you I'm not the host. I'm the beneficiary of this show for 6 years. Every time, Chris Perry, I've had somebody on that works with the poor, one thing they always say is, I've learned much more from the poor than I ever did from the rich.
That's absolutely true, and it's just the spirit of the people that I've had to engage with, whether it's like I said in the Dominican Republic on a mission trip, or some of the people that are working in Detroit, in the local schools, or the different organizations, is just the spirit that they have and the strength that they have, and you know whether they know it or not, that spirit was given to them by God, and what's important is for us to have a relationship with God and to rely on Him through our trials and recognize that He's all that we need. He will give us all that we need.
You know, the most used phrase in the Bible is not love your God, it's not love your neighbor, it's be not afraid. And in these tough times, a lot of people are afraid. He says that over and over and over. So
he has plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11 is, I know the plans I have for you.
And, you think you'll ever have the Cubs win the World Series?
I don't know. That's a good one.
after 1 year with GM, what's been the biggest thing that has surprised you?
That's another great question. You know, one of the things that, I don't know if it was a surprise, but from the outside, again, I grew up in Southern California, the view of Detroit and the Midwest and of GM is quite a bit different than reality. And I think that's probably one of the things that I need to help change is that it's perceived to be an old, stodgy organization who can't get out of its way. And once you're working with these people and seeing the passion that they have for the product that they develop and the passion they have for the brands, that was, I don't know about surprising, but it was really enlightening and inspirational for me to join this organization. There's a lot of great, intelligent, talented people within the GM organization. And it's really just now rallying the troops and getting people all marching the right way. And I think that's what the executive management is trying to do now. And we've been successful over the last 6 months and the last 12 months, but we still have a lot more work to do.
I think it was 1995, five or six guys in Royal Oak one Saturday said, let's take our old cars out and just go down Woodford for an hour. And 16 years later, and you've now experienced the last two Dream Cruises, it's unbelievable.
Actually, I just had my first one.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And Chevy always takes that where the old Woodward and the Woodward combine there south of Maple. And also, you took Art Van's store on about 14 Mile and had huge murals, took over the whole store.
Right.
From an outsider's point of view, talk to us about this Woodward Dream Cruise.
I thought it was fantastic. I got to tell you, I loved it. I looked at it more from just a consumer standpoint and just a car enthusiast than a marketing guy. Yes, that was my role, and I was down there meeting people and entertaining the press and so forth, but it was just
great. You had
great.
Jeff Gordon, you had Jimmy Johnson on Friday night.
We had Guy Fieri there on Saturday signing autographs from the Food Network. It was just a fantastic... I was walking it, I was biking it, I was cruising it in a 45th anniversary Camaro convertible. It was a fabulous day.
We could get you Lady Gaga next year. Okay.
Does she drive a Chevy?
For the right price, sure. Talk about the allure, the magic of cars.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but that was in the Dream Crew is a perfect example of that, of the passion and the emotion that cars bring out in people. That's what that was. It's arguably the largest single day automotive event in the world. People driving all types of different cars from all walks of life. Certainly a lot of Chevys there, but other manufacturers as well. If you ask me, there's not a better industry to be involved in, just because there's such an emotional attachment to these vehicles. The style, the performance, I don't know how to put it in words, but this town, more than any, really recognizes the glory of the automobile.
That thing has become every Friday, Saturday night in the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, the last 2 weeks leading up to it, Chris, it was every night.
My family and I would always often go down and get some ice cream and just stand out there, watch the cars going by, and hey, look at that one. Wow, what's that one? What is that guy doing? It's just fantastic.
Was there one car that you just said blew them all away?
That's a tough one. I get asked that question. I got to tell you, I think all said and done, there's a lot of vehicles that I really loved. If I had to choose, though, a 57 Bel Air convertible is about as... That would be it for me. That would be it for me.
We're talking to Chris Perry, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Chris Perry, VP of Marketing for Chevrolet Global. Chris, globalization.
That's a great one. I mean, what we've been doing at General Motors, I've talked to people about, is that we've been distributing Chevrolets globally, but we haven't been managing the brand globally. You know, we're distributed in 140 different countries, and what we're trying to do now is find some synergies, find those economies of scale, if you will, as well as having a consistent strategy around the globe. Recognizing that there's going to have to be some nuances in how it's executed globally, but if we can collectively agree on what Chevrolet stands for globally, how we want to present the brand, what the products look like, what are the performance characteristics of the product, that's where the strength comes about. And also, like you said, because it is the globe is getting so much smaller, what are those activities that we can engage in that have more of a global presence? You know, World Cup is a perfect example. That is a global event. The Olympics are a global event, but there's also music events that are global, you know, tours and things like that. So how do we leverage our resources to have an impact across the various markets that we compete in?
China, Chris Perry.
Huge, huge opportunity for us, not only for Chevrolet, but also obviously for General Motors. It's an extremely successful market for us, very important, and the growth expectations are just off the charts. I've heard quotes of saying it might get to 30 million units at some point, maybe in 2020. And you have to realize the best that we've reached in the U.S. is 17 million. So it gives you the magnitude of the opportunity there. And we will certainly pursue that with lust and be a bit of aggressive about it. But it's a great opportunity for Chevy, Buick, Cadillac. But we have to be smart in the way that we approach it.
Talk to us about the power that the internet has given to the consumer.
That is fantastic. I think it's a great tool for the consumer. I mean, from a marketing standpoint, it's a way for us to communicate to the consumer better on their terms, but it's also a way through Facebook and emails and Twitter and all the different avenues for them to share in their opinions, get opinions from their friends and family. That's probably what's had the biggest impact from our perspective, is it puts the consumer a bit in control of the dialogue and in control of messaging. So we're now working in finding ways to incorporate the consumer into our messaging rather than talking to them. How do we find ways for the consumer to talk for us? And how do we find ways to have a dialogue with consumers around the different issues that they're wondering about in regards to our brand?
The phenomenon of Facebook, Twitter, how does GM use that phenomenon to its advantage?
Facebook is a great example. The Chevrolet Camaro is the most, I guess you could argue that it's the most popular vehicle, because it has by far the most fan base of any car on the internet. We have close to 1.7 million fans for the Camaro. So that's a great opportunity for us to ignite the passion around those fans, around what we're doing with the Camaro and with Chevrolet. Certainly we tapped into that fan base for our Glee event, for Woodward Dream Cruise, for a variety of different ways of continuing to engage in that group. Not only the Camaro group, obviously, but we have a Chevy fan base, we have a Silverado fan base, Cruise, Volt, all those things. We certainly have to talk to them differently and ignite their passions that they have for their product. But it's given us an avenue to, again, leverage those consumers' passion for our products.
We're talking to Chris Perry, Vice President of Marketing for Chevrolet Global. Chris, how will we buy a Chevrolet in 2020?
What I'd like to see is you buy a Chevrolet the way you want to buy a Chevrolet. So we have an ability to, for you to come down to the dealership, if that's the way you want to buy it, if you want to order it online and have it delivered to your home. Again, if we're going to the place where the consumer is control and the consumer is really the basis of how we make our decisions and build our marketing programs, and then we should be able to, you should be able to buy a Chevrolet any way you want to.
Talk to us about the term mass customization.
That's an interesting one and a challenging one, because you want to be able to gain efficiency of scale from a production standpoint, obviously. But again, if we put the consumer in the middle, then we need to build cars for individual drivers. So how do we customize those vehicles to fit their needs, but still tap into the efficiency of mass production? And we're trying to do that with how we package our vehicles and maybe how we accessorize the vehicles. But definitely from a car standpoint, it's more difficult than in other product categories.
Chris Perry, as I listen to couples with teenagers, young adults, they can't leave the kid a voice message. They never call back. They text them. they text them back. This whole Facebook and Twitter, these kids don't ever talk. You see four teenage girls at a table at a restaurant. They never say one word. They're just texting to each other.
Yeah.
So it seems to me they got to learn how to talk face-to-face, communicate.
I hope so. Yeah.
You and Roseanne, with your two children, how are you trying to teach them to talk?
Yeah. Well, the same way that my father, like I mentioned, encouraged dialogue around the kitchen table, we're doing the same thing. So we try our best to have family meals when we can. Obviously, it's not every night because we have busy schedules, but have those family meals and force the dialogue about not only what's going on in their lives and our lives, but what's going on around us in the community and what's going on around us in the world. But that is a challenge. You see it, I'm sure our parents looked at us the same way of, boy, this next generation, they don't get it. They don't understand this. But you're right. The ability to have a coherent dialogue and conversation with somebody is a need that's going to continue regardless. I really believe that.
What do you say to a young person, Chris Perry, who wants a career in marketing today?
I encourage it. But there's a lot of different ways to get into marketing. There's media, there's strategy, there's creative. Find your passion. Find the thing that really ignites you and go for it. I think sometimes people go for the one that might have the biggest paycheck and they're miserable. And I think whatever field you're going in, it's not new advice, but I think it's advice that I believe in, is find the thing that you're passionate about, and that's the thing that you're going to be good at. I'm blessed at being able to be doing what I do. I enjoy it. I love it. I can't see myself doing anything else, quite honestly. But that's the advice I'd give people, is find your passion.
In the world today, in business today, Chris, the bar keeps getting raised, whether it's in business, sports, whatever. How do people thrive in such a competitive world?
It's, again, finding that passion and doing what you love doing. That's where the competitive nature comes out. If you're doing something that you love, I believe you're going to do it well. And it comes off as being competitive, but it really is just being passionate about what it is you do.
The only constant in life is change. We can't run from it. The people that embrace it do the best. Talk about change.
That's a constant, and I always tell my team that. They would love to have a 12-month program, 12-month plan of how we're going to manage the business, but it doesn't always work that way. So we obviously have to put plans in place, recognizing that it will change. Things are going to change.
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
I think I'd have to go back to, again, find your passion, whatever that might be. It might be photography. It might be taking care of animals. Whatever that passion is, that's what's going to get you, that's what's going to fulfill you. And if you do that, if you pursue what your purpose is, stealing from Rick Warren, you will be happy, you'll be a happy person.
And buy a Chevrolet.
And buy a Chevrolet.
Chris Perry, thanks a million for having you. Been an honor to have you.
Thanks. Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom.
Believe in yourself.